That was great. That's good, wasn't it? Lovely time of worship. If you've got your Bibles, would you like to come with me? I want to tell the story this morning of this young woman out of Scripture. Some of you may have heard some of this material this morning before, either here or elsewhere, where I've given it. But I think it's one of those yearly timely reminders that we have to do. So if you come with me to 1 Samuel and chapter 18, we've just got four texts that we need to read. So this concerns a young woman by the name of Michal. So 1 Samuel 18 and verse 20. So if you haven't got a Bible with you, you just might like to listen and follow as I read. And it says this. It says, "Now Saul's daughter Michal was in love with David." It's interesting that we're not told that David loved her, but she loved David. "And when they told Saul," and Saul is the father of Michal, "about it, he was pleased. 'I will give her to him,' he thought, 'so that she may be a snare to him, and so that the hand of the Philistines may be against him.'" So here we have this young girl who is being used and manipulated by her father. He's not really concerned about her love life. He's concerned about what he can gain from this. Okay? So if you come with me to chapter 19 and verse 8, and it says this. So by this time, David and Michal are married. Okay, they're married. Verse 8, it says, "Once more war broke out, and David went out and fought the Philistines, and he struck them with such force that they fled before him. But an evil spirit from the Lord came upon Saul," who's Michal's father, "as he was sitting in his house with his spear in his hand. And while David was playing the harp, Saul tried to pin him down to the wall with his spear. But David eluded him as Saul drove the spear into the wall. And that night David made good his escape." So this is a house that is filled with domestic violence. So things are not going well for Michal. And then if in terms of, we're not told this in this particular chapter here, David fled the house. And he fled and was away for 13 years. So I don't want you to think of David at this point, but of Michal. I mean, things are going badly for this young woman. So now if you come with me to 2 Samuel chapter 3. Okay, 2 Samuel chapter 3. And verse 12. And it says this. It says, so this is when David, he's now, there was a civil war between David and Saul. And David is now, he's winning this war. And He can now set terms. And it says here in verse 12, "Then Abner sent messages on his behalf to say to David, 'Whose land is it? Make an agreement with me and I'll help you bring all Israel over to you.' 'Good,' said David, 'I will make an agreement with you, but I demand one thing of you.'" So here are some of his terms. He says, "Do not come into my presence unless you bring Michal, the daughter of Saul, when you come to see me." So, and then it says here in verse 14, "Then David sent messages to Ish-bosheth, son of Saul, demanding, 'Give me my wife Michal, whom I betrothed to myself, for the price of 100 Philistine foreskins.'" And that's another story. that's next week. No. So Ish-bosheth gave orders, and it says this, "and had her taken away from her husband, Patil, son of Laish." So, and her husband, however, went with her, weeping behind her all the way. to Bahurim. Then Abner said to him, go back home. So he went back. And so you've got the story of this woman who's just being tossed around. You know, pushed here, grabbed there, moved here. This is Michal's story. Now come with me to chapter 6 of 2 Samuel. Chapter 6 and verse 16. And it says this. So Michal has come back. By the way, she came back into a household where David had arguably three other women by this point. He had Bathsheba for one. So, not easy. And then it says in verse 16, as the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. Verse 20. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, oh, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight. That's just my grandson. The competition has started already. How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants, as any vulgar fellow would. And David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. And I will celebrate before the Lord. I will even become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. And Michal, in verse 23, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. So she had no children to the day of her death. And we don't hear about Michal again. So could we pray? This is our text this morning. Could we pray? Our God, we come to this text. We come also to you. We also come to our own hearts and our own lives. And we ask that you'd weave all of these strands together, that something beautiful may transpire this morning. And only you can do this. You can create something beautiful out of that which is broken. You can gather up the rubble and the ashes, and you can restore and renew, and you can rebuild. And we pray, Lord, that as we just briefly explore this and take communion, that something by your Spirit will occur in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. How many people are familiar with that story of Michal? Yeah, sobering. So, friends, with Michal, she suffered. And there is a sense in which no one should have to suffer that much. Is that right? And I personally believe that Michal had every right to be angry. I mean, stuff happened to her that shouldn't happen to anyone. So she had a right to be angry. I mean, hers was a tragic life. A tragedy. But what, and this is what I glean from her life, what is concerning is that she actually experienced a double tragedy. She had the tragedy of the stuff that came like a tsunami towards her and engulfed her. She had that, yes. But the other tragedy that occurred in her life was that she reached a time in her life, and I want you to hear this, where she settled into her own sadness. And she got stuck in her suffering. And she didn't move on. And therein lies the second tragedy. That she just reached this point where she got stuck. Now, I tend to think that happens to all of us. Am I right? You know, all of us. Come on, let's be honest this morning. I love this church for its honesty. I mean, all of us, you know, we've got stuff from the past. Stuff that we've done, stuff that has happened to us. And the temptation is that when that stuff occurs, whatever it is, we settle into the sadness and we get stuck in our own suffering. And we stop. And we stop there. I mean, it could be over anything. It could be a sickness. It could be something that your mother did when you were two. It could be, you know, as a girl, you may have been abused when you were 16. And then you get married in subsequent years, and you're with your fella in married life, and you're 25. But when you're in those moments of intimacy with your husband, you're still 16. Are you with me? Because way back then you got stuck. It could be that you made a mistake and you could never get over the mistake that you made. And it was like, you know, something, it was like the switches got turned off and the lights started to go off in your own life. It's like you went into breakdown and shutdown all because of this mistake. It could have been through someone betraying us. It could have been through a loss that occurred in our lives. It could have been, you know, 20 years ago. It could have been 6 years ago. It could have been 6 months ago. It could have been 6 days ago. You know, one of the tragedies is when I see elderly people. And you know, some elderly people, it's like 40% of them has turned to ice. And they're brittle. And it's like you start to get to know some elderly people and it's like there's a hardness. And they don't have that softness of character. And you know, whenever I see that, I know that with this person in front of me, they have got stuck. And they've got so stuck, so settled into their sadness that that sadness has turned into ice. And you see some elderly people and you start to interact with them and you know that as they act and as they speak, they're coming out of that hard place. And so I feel as though elderly people, and it doesn't just happen to elderly people, but I feel elderly people are a warning to us. Let it be that we this year continue to work on our stuff. Never settle in your sadness or get stuck in your suffering. Because you take a huge risk. We all do. So what can we do about this? I mean, this is where, what do we do? So I want to morph now into Dr. Phil. Okay. It seems to me, people, and I've had to learn this in my own life, in the hardest of ways. I mean, I have got in my life those deep disappointments, those betrayals, those hurts, those scars, physical scars, emotional scars, all, I mean, and so, but I don't want to settle there. I want to keep evolving and growing. And I know just about all of us do too, deep down, if we're being really honest. So, what can help us if we've had stuff in the past and we're suspecting that we've kind of got lodged there? What can help us? There's a thing called bereavement work, and it has three parts to it. So I'll give you the three parts, and then I'll come back. So the first part is what is called memory work, and the second part is grievance work, and the third part is grief work. Have you heard this? Okay, first part is memory work. So, Once or twice a year, I think it's good for all of us to do what is called memory work. That is where you dig up your past. You go through the archives of your own history. You pull out the filing cabinets, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and you dig into your past. It's called doing memory work. Now, at this point, some people in New Zealand, well-meaning, but they say, no, no, no. Let sleeping dogs lie. You know, don't go back. Just forget it. What are some of the other cliches that float around on this one? Let bygones be bygones. Is there another one? Move on. Is there another one? That's it. Get over it. Is there another one? But you get the idea. I would beg to differ. What's that, Matt? Did you say something? Oh, yeah, take something to block it all out. So true. If that's what you were trying to say. you can shut up now. Okay. Now, so that's a typical kind of Kiwi response, actually. I would beg to differ. There's a truth in it sometimes. But what we do sometimes, we don't do all the time. And sometimes, actually, we need to dig into our past. Look, listen, people. Each one of us in this room, slung over our shoulder, is a bag. And this bag contains our history. And sometimes that bag gets too big. And when that bag gets too big, that is when the past invades the present. And your past becomes determinative of your present behavior. So there are those times where we need to put our hands in the bag and deal to bits and pieces of our past, that the bag might get light and lighter. So that is memory work. So I don't know if you do this. I mean, I wouldn't do it once a week. It would get too depressing. I wouldn't even do it once a month. But I would like to think that I could do it once a quarter, once every 6 months. It is a good thing to do, memory work. Secondly, what was the second one? What was it? Grievance work. Second one is grievance work. What grievance work is, once you've dug up your past and you've captured an event, whatever that might be, you allow yourself to live into that event again, even though that event occurred 20 years ago. In other words, you allow yourself to experience the hurt and pain again, to revisit the feelings at that time. Now, of course, in New Zealand, the cliches on this one, they come out again. And people say, oh, no, don't revisit the pain. You'll only become an embittered soul. You know, no, that'll only make for hatred. Don't do that. Do you know what I've learned? If you make space in your soul for sorrow, there is little space left over for hate. Could you repeat that sentence to the person next to you now? Okay, here we go. As Ben said before, that you're a good class, so here we go. So that is called grievance work, where you allow yourself to experience again some of the pain and hurt. This is if you need to get unstuck. Okay? The third one, what was the first one? Memory work. Second one? Grievance work. Third one, grief work. Grief work is letting go. It's called letting go. The best way, and I'm nearly done, the best way to illustrate this is to tell you a story that's not true, but there's truth in the story. And it goes like this. There were these two monks, and they came across a stretch of water. And on the edge of the water, there was this young damsel. and she was in distress. And the older monk said to this young lady, "My dear, what is the problem?" And she said, "I want to get across the stretch of water, but I don't want to get wet." And the older monk said, "No problemo." So he picked her up in his big arms, clutched her to his chest, and then said to the younger monk, "Come on, let's get going." So these two monks, they walked across the water. When they got to the other side, the older monk, he let her go, and she went on her merry way. He then turned to the younger monk, this older monk, and said, "Come on, we've got to get to the monastery." They got to the gates of the monastery, and at that point, the younger monk turned on the older monk. And the younger monk said to the older monk, "Naughty, naughty, naughty, we're not meant to do that." And the older monk said, "What?" And the younger monk said, "Pick up girls like that." And then this older monk, he was a wise sage, you know, like a person full of wisdom. And he said this to the younger monk. He said, "Isn't it strange?" He said, "I picked her up and carried her across the water, and you're carrying her still." And there are some of us in this room, and we are carrying things still. Things from our past. Things that we've done, things that have been done to us. Things. Minor, major. And we're still carrying them. And there come those times where we have to let it go. I don't know about you, I need help. Whenever I've had to do this, I need help. And the reason why we need to let it go is that so we can be light of step. Light of step. And light of spirit. And other people pick it up. Have you noticed this? You know, have you noticed when you've been hanging around a person and you think, "Whoa, back the truck up. You know, they're way too heavy and intense." Have you bumped into those people, the person next to you this morning? No. And you just kind of think, you know, I mean, you can just tell that they've got a lot of baggage. But everybody likes to be with someone who's lighter of step. And lighter of spirit. That's why we've got to let our stuff go. But I don't know about you, we need help. So we're going to do communion. Because this communion table is a table of grace. We always get to this part and we have this beautiful cloth, and then I've got to take it off carefully so nothing. Could someone give me a hand? Yeah. Nope. Whoop. Oh. Oop. Oh. That's what I mean. Okay, so we come to this table, and this table reveals a secret to us. Now, you must hear this. I want to pass on to you what I think is the secret of living. The secret of life is to learn how to die. What I mean by that is the secret of life is not, or if when I say it's to learn how to die, I'm not thinking of death as stopping. Death is like beginning to let things go. Is that kind of death? And you see, Jesus, he let his life go. He didn't stop, though. His Father raised Jesus from the dead. And Jesus is alive today. And this Jesus, who's been through it, can help us let stuff go and then arise again. He can actually help us transcend our pasts. Now, in any gathering like this morning, there's about maybe 10 people. And what has been shared this morning is deeply, profoundly what you needed to hear this morning. And for the rest of us, hopefully it was an encouragement, you know? But for the people here who you just needed to hear this morning, I'm going to ask you to do something special this morning. I'm going to ask you to come and sit in these two front rows here. And I'm going to give you a present. These presents are crosses. And they've been made by a dear saint in the lower North Island. And the idea of these wooden crosses with a little shell in the heart is that he's made them in such a way that with your fingers you can grasp it like this. And there are just some of us here this morning, and you know that you need to hold on to someone other than yourself to help you transcend your past. And I want to give you this cross for you to take home. And then when you have gone through your being unstuck, you pass this on to someone else. So we're going to take communion, and I need some helpers. We'll have the communion in our seats, so the bread and the cup symbolizing Jesus' letting go and arising. You have this quietly in your own seats. But if you as a person need special prayer this morning and you'd like to receive one of these crosses, I'm going to ask you to come to the front to receive communion. And I'll give you communion as well as one of these crosses. Okay? So could we have some helpers? That would be excellent. I need a good 8 people, I guess. Is that right? 7 maybe? Yeah. Okay. So, bless you guys for coming up the front, and just a couple over there, a couple here, a couple there, and maybe one there. And can we pray, friends? First off, let's pray. Our God, you always promised that you would come back, and you did. And you came back in the person of Jesus Christ. And you took upon yourself all that is tragic, and you took it into yourself, and you learned how to die. And then, through the grace of the Father, you rose from the dead. You're alive today, and you can help us do the same. So we thank you for these elements. Thank you for the bread. We thank you for the cup that symbolize transformation, transcending our past. Thank you. Thank you that there is a way. Thank you that there's a way out. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Justin. Bless you. So just take a tray. Just leave one. I'll take that one there. You take that one there. Thanks. Yeah. So come to the front if you need a cross and you need to be served communion. Come and sit at the front here on these two rows here. Might be a minor thing, could be a major thing, could be 2 years ago or 25 years ago. Something to do with a family member, something to do with a job, something to do with sickness and loss. Could have been a betrayal, something, a hurt that went really deep. So you come to the front. please, if you could help Marcy. Marcy, take this bread and this cup, and may it be grace for you in your circumstances. Lisa, take this cup and this bread, and may it be grace, enabling you to transcend whatever. Hosteen, take this bread and this cup. Know God's love in your situation. New life for this new chapter that you both face. My friend, take this bread, take this cup, and may you know God's wisdom and power. My friend, take this bread and take this cup, and may you know that God really does love you. He can set you free. Take this cross. You can feel. Yeah, just take a cross. May you hold on to this cross. Know life. Take this cross and know life through death. Frank, take this cross and know life through death. 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 How do I take that? I wonder if Ben, that first song that we did in that bracket. That second bracket, that first song, would be good as a closing song for us. Do you mind? Yeah. Well, friends, we're coming to the end of our service this morning. And it's good to be together, isn't it? Is that right? It's really good. This is a very special time that we have here on Sunday mornings. It's very special. Very, very special, actually. We don't try and make things happen. It's all about God's grace. Actually, it's about soaking. It's about soaking in His presence. And there's one thing I'd like to start this year, and it's called soak. Because what I noticed last year, that a lot of us last year, we went through all manner of things. Do you remember? And we're still going, some are going through. And actually, on reflection, I think it would have been really good if we had had a little group who were always available to really soak people in God's presence and power and love. A lot of us went through a lot of things. So I'm going to ask Dawn to come up. Last week we got Frank to come up and he talked about Alpha. Because what I'm doing in this month of February is going over the crossover themes. The first theme was about the big story. The second theme, our stuff. Thus this morning. And next week, spiritual spaces and places. So that's what we're doing this month. So last week we got Frank to talk about Alpha at the end of the service, and I've asked Dawn to consider this whole thing of, you know, kind of creating a regular time where people who need to be soaked in prayer, in other words, they come time and time and time again. And I asked Dawn if she would consider sort of helping to facilitate this. So Dawn, I just wonder if you could join me up here, and just very briefly, is there anything that you'd like to share from your heart on this?
Yeah. Thank you. I'm one of the elderly people that Nick referred to earlier. You know, there are two really intelligent questions.
Is this on?
Is it on? Yeah, okay. There are two intelligent questions that I was sitting at and waiting for the train the other day and thinking about what Nick was talking about. And, you know, this comes from the Song of Solomon, and it is the wonderful stories of an incredibly wonderful love affair between our God and His church. And the questions are, why should I be one left out? And I thought, well, I don't want to be left out. And I've, you know, it's come time and time again in my life. And it says, why should I be the one left outside the orbit of your tender care? And there is an orbit, and I just, you know, I don't even know what version this is, but this is the iPhone that I'm not, you know, I haven't got quite to grips with it. But I love this idea of an orbit. And there is an orbit, and within that orbit, the story goes that there is the tender care. And, you know, I've lived a long time, and many times I've been hit by space junk. Something just comes out of the blue. And you know, we can't always control it. Whether it's about finance, whether it's about relationships, or whether it's about your own body and what's going on at work and in your family, and a piece of junk comes and hits you. And the most important thing is to be in the orbit of care. And, you know, we can't always control the events, but why should I be one outside of that orbit? And I just think those are the most intelligent questions that we must ask again and again, and because I don't want to be left out of the orbit. And there is a way to keep moving and to keep circulating within that orbit, and I love that. And I just, you know, be really privileged to connect with you guys.
Boy, I mean, I should have shut up earlier. That was great. Yeah. So you'll hear more about soak. We have still, which Joe Garton helped to start last year, and that will continue. But now we have another S called soak. So you'll hear more about that. So let's all stand, shall we? Thanks, Ben.